skyline wouldn't be the same without it. For almost five centuries, the towering cupola of St. Peter's Basilica has been gracing the west bank of the Tiber River, drawing pilgrims, tourists, and artists from the world over to admire the work of some of history's greatest architects, sculptors, and artists. Well, St. Peter's Basilica, like the Vatican Museums and the Swiss Guards, celebrated its 500th birthday in 2006. And leading the festivities, just a little less than a year at his new job, was the new Pope.
Possa la circostanza felice del cinquecentesimo anniversario risvegliare in tutti I cattolici il desiderio di essere pietre vive.
Pope Benedict there inviting the faithful to be the cornerstones of the faith, recalling that in April, some 500 years ago, Pope Julius II laid the first founding stone of the current St. Peter's Basilica.
Slightly more than 500 years have passed since the first stone of the Second Vatican Basilica was laid, and yet it remains a living place. It is not a museum. It is a spiritual organism, and the stones also reflect this vitality.
The basilica that you see today did take 120 years, but it's important to know there was a moment of a decision, a moment of a foundation, and the whole laying of that cornerstone that would turn into this magnificent monument.
Elizabeth Lev is professor of Christian art and architecture for Duquesne University's Italian campus. She points out that the basilica tourists and pilgrims see today is not the first to have been built on this very site. And so Pope Julius's plan for a new basilica was shockingly revolutionary for his time.
500 years ago, Pope Julius II took an extraordinary decision, and it was to demolish an 1,100-year-old basilica that had been built by the Emperor Constantine for the Christian community in Rome right after the legalization of Christianity. This church had been around for a millennium. It had seen the incarnation of Holy Roman emperors. It had seen councils. It had seen popes come and go. It had seen the popes leave to Avignon. It had welcomed their return, and Julius II swept away this 1,100-year-old basilica. He didn't do it with this idea of canceling the old. He did it with the intention to project the church into its future. And the basilica we see today is a church that has been designed from the first stone in 1506 to be the church that would say, that would be for the next millennium and the next millennium again.
Ricordare con gratitudine I sommi pontefici che hanno voluto quest'opera straordinaria sulla tomba dell'Apostolo Pietro. Ricordo con ammirazione gli artisti che hanno contribuito con il loro genio a edificarla e a decorarla.
Such ingenious architects as Bramante, Michelangelo, Maderno, and Bernini contributed to making St. Peter's the center point of all Christendom, connecting humanity to the heavens.
It's the parish church of the whole world. St. Peter's is the home of St. Peter's grave. It's the place where the Pope says Mass and as he stands above the grave of St. Peter, it's the reminder that he, the successor of Peter, is the vicar of Christ on earth. It's the church whose doors are open to every single person in the world. And its arms of the square and its huge space inside and that colossal dome are all there to draw us home.
Maintaining that earthly home is a mammoth enterprise, so a special Vatican office was especially set up to care for the basilica and the square. the Fabrica of San Pietro.
St. Peter's Basilica employs an army of what we call the San Pietrini. These are the caretakers of the basilica who not only serve as the custodians up and down the long nave of St. Peter and its aisles, but they also are there for the maintenance of that basilica, and the meticulous care and upkeep of that church goes on every single day. Often early in the morning you can see the San Pietrini out with the engineers checking on a crack or a place where the marble veneer has come off, or watching over the need to restore the piers that are supporting the dome. So St. Peter's really, from everything you see, there are people specialized in taking care of the marble veneers, the mosaics, and then, of course, the huge structural questions of the supporting of the dome, the supporting of the canopy, and all of these other thoughts and concerns. So the people in charge of the care of this basilica, the whole operation that looks after the tremendous amount of maintenance that St. Peter's Basilica requires, the Fabrica of St. Peter's, the Fabrica di San Pietro, the works of St. Peter's, have a very distinctive coat of arms, if you will, which is instead of the two crossed keys that you usually see under the papal tiara, they have two keys that sit side by side, and where you see those on the various thresholds or doorways or different monuments in St. Peter's, you know that they're monuments that were given and are maintained by the Fabrica of St. Peter's. And this is the office that deals with every single aspect of maintaining, taking care of, and running a church that size.
But will Pope Julius's futuristic vision 500 years ago be able to keep pace with the changing times of centuries to come?
I think the church, from its very inception with the new foundation stone, when Julius II took a step that he knew would be unpopular, he was looking towards a great triumphant church of the future, a church where Christians from all over the world, in his mind, would come to this church and be proud of this church, the place that truly would look like the Caput Mundi, the head of the Christian world. And so when he first designed his church, he applied in the construction, his architect, Donato Bramante, who was the brilliant architect of the early Renaissance, Donato Bramante designed a church that was an amalgamation of two of the greatest monuments from antiquity, the Pantheon and the Basilica of Constantine, a public building and a religious building, merged together to be the ultimate reliquary for St. Peter. The treasure that that church houses is one of our greatest treasures of the church. And so, as the church progressed, as the years progressed, the church keeps growing. It has kept growing, and it continues to grow, and it continues to look to the future. From an original Greek cross plan extended into a Latin cross plan to make the church bigger so it could hold the 60,000 people it holds today. From the Latin cross plan to the giant square that holds 175,000 people, added by Bernini in the 1660s, to the Via della Conciliazione that was added under Mussolini in 1929, the church has just continued to expand outwards to welcome more and more people to the church. And I don't know what the future holds for St. Peter's, but I'm certain that the future holds continuing gathering of the people and a continuing beacon for Catholics all over the world.
Elizabeth Lev, professor of Christian art and architecture for Duquesne University's Italian campus.